Join me in the book of Colossians, please. Chapter 2, verse 6. Just two verses for us today. You're the inerrant, inspired word of the living God. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in truth. Faith. Just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. And I do pray the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Just as I mentioned a few moments ago in my seed illustration, we would not put a seed in the ground and then not expect in time to see a plant emerge from the ground. We would have every expectation that the seed we planted would arise and be that flower. I think it was during the barbecue. David and a couple of us were sitting out here as we were giving out plates and watched Brian as he seeded the field across from the church. And very expectantly, we now see a beautiful crop of corn coming up. This is an illustration of Paul's point here to the Colossians and to us. They have received Christ Jesus. And the seed of the Holy Spirit within us and within them is that confirmation of him, Jesus, being planted. And so now Paul encourages, because that seed of Christ has been planted, he expects that the young believers will now grow in maturity and in time more and more reflecting Jesus Christ. The same is true for us. The seed of the Christian faith planted, and now a life lived modeling that of Jesus Christ is expected. To expect anything else, would be like Brian planting that field over there and never expecting to see a thing. Kind of foolish, huh? The seed is planted. We should resemble our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, these two verses that I read to you here sound very simple. They have very simple words. Paul is using some of the simplest language of any of his writings here. And these are words we use often: received and walked and rooted and built up, established. We all know these words. Simple. But please do not let their simplicity mislead us, because Paul here has an incredibly deep theological intentions in these two short verses. So let's dig into them a bit deeper. He says, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, walk in him. Received. This word received, it means to come alongside and aggressively take hold of. It means to aggressively take hold of by strong intent. This is not just a passing grasp by this Greek word. It means to receive, means to take hold of and grasp and make it a part and be ingrained. And so he says, when you receive Christ Jesus, walk in him. So what is it that we have received? Well, it is Christ Jesus, but more than that, but in that, it is the full gospel message that we have received. The full gospel message, which through the work of the Holy Spirit has led to salvation. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15, now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, again that same word, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ Jesus died for our sins. That's what we received. And so that message, that full gospel message, we are to live our lives in that reception, fully grasping, taking great initiative to latch hold of and take hold of what's been given to us. Also, please note here the full title that Paul uses to identify the Lord. Christ Jesus, the Lord. Very intentional. Very intentional. He did not refer to him just as Jesus, which would have been fine, but he used his full title, Christ Jesus, the Lord. So if you look at this title, first of all, you see the word Christ. That simply means God's anointed. So here, using this title, he's referencing and enforcing that God the Father has anointed Jesus to be the Christ, to be the Son of God, to be the Savior. But the most important part here, I think, for Paul, given the context, is that title, the Lord. Christ Jesus, the Lord. You know, the tendency in much of Christianity today is to recognize Jesus Christ as Savior only. Out on the sign, I have it simply, Jesus saves, which is true. But to see Jesus Christ as Savior falls way short. To recognize him as Lord is not done by all. And even those of us who might acknowledge him as Lord, we may call him Lord, but do we live our lives as he is Lord? Because you see, the lordship of Jesus Christ, that title, the Lord, means authority. He is Christ. He is the anointed of God. He is the fullest representation and manifestation of God the Father. And he has the authority of God the Father to act on his behalf and fulfill his will. Lordship acknowledges authority. And so we should recognize him as Lord, recognize him as the authority over our lives. And this is what Paul is commending here. We have received the full gospel message of Jesus Christ. Now we are to live with him as Lord. And that's what Paul says. You have received Christ Jesus, O Lord, so walk in him. In the Greek, Paul has put two words together here to make this a bit more emphatic. And this is where it gains its depth. The first word means to be methodically around, in, or through something. Very full word. The word is methodically in and around and through. And then when it's added to the word walk, which is the second word, you get this picture, this word picture in our minds, that we are to walk, conduct our lives in and through and around Jesus Christ. Everything about that gospel message is to be ingrained in our lives. So he says, as you receive Christ Jesus, walk in him. Now, he's not talking about literally walking. He is talking about the conduct of life. As we live our lives, we are to be methodically, intentionally living our lives in and through and around that gospel message. So here, Paul is simply undergirding the idea of Christ's lordship. Acknowledging him as Lord, giving him the authority over your life, means that you're also going to dig in and live your life in that way and in that concept. Complete submission. Complete submission. Now, Paul's intention here, as I've said, is for this to be a growing, maturing process. So this lordship living in and through and around Jesus Christ has to be done, should be done, in an ever-increasing measure as we mature. Again, sanctification. It begins immediately after you're justified, after you're born again. You begin moving and looking like Jesus Christ. Are you on day one? No. But should you be more like Christ in day two, year two, year 80? Certainly. And maturing is the fact of the Christian life. Remember our seed? Once we planted it, we expect to see growth. We expect this corn over here that Brian planted not to remain a foot tall. Wouldn't do him any good. We expect it to grow. We expect it to mature. It's the same with the Christian life. We are to mature. Paul commends that here. In verse 7, he calls on the Christian to be rooted in him. Again, a very simple word, but it has great, great deep meaning here as Paul uses it. To be rooted means to be solidly, firmly fixed and established. Cause a person or a thing to be thoroughly grounded. And oh Lord, the world needs more of this today. To be thoroughly grounded. This tree, as I was writing the sermon, this huge oak tree just kept coming to mind. Kept coming to mind. That huge oak tree out there. How old is that oak tree? How old is that oak tree? I don't know. 100 years old? At least. More, probably. And it's that strong foundation of that root system out there, rooted deeply and firmly into the ground out there. And you know how the wind blows out here? And that tree over there is just a swaying, and it stands right there because it is rooted deeply into that soil. This is what Paul is calling on us as Christians, to be rooted deeply, deeply in this gospel message. The Christian is to be rooted in the gospel message. This is our foundation. This is the solid rock on which we stand, as we sing often. This is to be sturdy and stable. This is to provide solidity to the Christian life. We are to be built up in Him. He says here, rooted and built up in Him. Again, the maturing fashion. We're rooted. We've got the foundation. Now build up in that and mature. Again, back to our seed. Judy's going to plant those zinnias over there. I shouldn't expect to see a rose bush. The Holy Spirit is planted here. What should I expect to see? A pagan? No. No. The seed of the Holy Spirit is planted in you. What should I expect to see? We should expect to see the things of Jesus Christ. The seed of Jesus Christ was planted within us by the coming of the Holy Spirit, so we should expect to see an ever-increasing signs of Jesus Christ in us as we mature. And through this maturing, through this being built up, Paul says, we are established in the faith. Again, it warms my heart so. As some of you face your trials, your hardships, but to see you standing so firmly and established in that faith, you prove its validity. You prove its truthfulness. And we are established in this faith, as Paul acknowledges here, just as we were taught. Just as we were taught. Romans 10:14. How then will they call on Him in whom they have not heard or believed? And how are they to believe in Him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? I'll add to that teaching. Preaching and teaching the truth. As I prayed earlier, preaching the truth, teaching the truth. Not my designs. Not my desires, not up here telling stories to grab your attention, just simply preaching and teaching the truth. And folks, this cannot, the importance of this cannot be overstated. There are so many church bodies gathered under a roof today that's hearing sermons that you would have to question even if they have a biblical context or an anchor of biblical truth to it at all. And the people are just lapping it up because it sounds good. It makes me feel better. Biblical truth, yes, should revive us, should renew us, but it should also convict us. And as Steve says many times, well, you weren't roaring at the tips of my shoes today. Sometimes it convicts and it hurts. But we are to be preaching and teaching the truth because this is giving us the foundation of which we are rooted in. We don't want to be rooted in arbitrary facts. We don't want to be rooted in what today's common message is or what the politically correct ideas are. The truth. The truth. Good teaching. I pray good preaching. It is like the proper watering and fertilizing of our seed. The right water, a little fertilizer along the way, then we will see that plant emerge. Good preaching, good teaching along the way will lead us to mature Christianity. And Paul gives us a test here. Paul gives us a test. And I'll move us toward this test by asking the question, what is a telltale sign that one has received Christ? What is a telltale sign that one is walking in his ways? That he or she is rooted in being built up in the faith. What's a sign of that? What is a sign that one is being taught well? One will be, as Paul states here, there will be an overflowing, as he uses the word, abounding in thanksgiving. And this is the test for the truest Christian. Is there a heart of gratitude within you right now? Are you overwhelmed with thankfulness for what Jesus Christ has done for you? What he has saved you to, but also what he has saved you from. Are we thankful? Philippians 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Ephesians, Paul writes, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thankfulness. Many times when I hear you pray, the first line, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you, Lord, for... thank you. This should be that revealing factor of our lives that we have received Christ. We are walking in his ways. We understand how we should be rooted in the foundation of the gospel because we have thankful hearts. And we express that openly with our gratitude. Thanksgiving should be in the heart of every Christian. This should be an encouragement to you as the church. I'll give it to you again. As you received Christ Jesus the Lord, walk in him. And as you are rooted and being built up, and as you are being established in the faith, let your life reflect that with thanksgiving. If that is indeed the case in your life. I pray as Paul prays that we are rooted in Christ and that we are growing in Christ. Let's pray together. Holy Spirit, thank you for these words. Thank you for these words and let us live them. Holy Spirit, continue your work as you root us more deeply into the gospel message and that we might build up in that foundation and be established in the faith that we have been gifted. And oh Lord, let our hearts overflow with thanksgiving. Lord Jesus, thank you. Holy Spirit, thank you. Father, thank you. That you had mind of such as me. And more than that, even before the creation of the world, you took mind of me. In Jesus' holy name we pray, amen. Amen.